This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday, a Veterans Day. Once again, happy Veterans Day to all who served. It's a good day to make a phone call. I know we don't like to make phone calls now that we're in the texting era, but if you have a veteran in your life, make a phone call. Consider making a phone call to that veteran. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about this because I've had a lot of these. Jesse, I don't understand what's going on. When the shutdown started, President Trump threatened to unleash Russ Vought at the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, to eliminate Democratic programs and institutions permanently. Where is all this? Where was all this? Donald Trump is a different kind of a character, for sure, obviously, as you're well aware. Sometimes Donald Trump floats out trial balloons for policies to see how it lands, to see how it lands with the people, see how it lands with his base. Like, for instance, this thing. This is a trial balloon.
Dividends to our middle-income people and lower-income people of about $2,000. And we're going to use the remaining tariffs to lower our debt. We're going to be lowering our debt, which is a national security thing.
$2,000. We'll give you a $2,000 dividend. That's a trial balloon. He's going to see where that lands. He does that. Sometimes he's not floating a trial balloon. Sometimes he's selling something. Something that he kind of feels forced or possibly is forced into. We don't want 600,000 Chinese spies educated at our universities in this country. That's freaking insane. We don't like the university system that has destroyed this country in many, many ways by its communist ways. We don't like the university system. We don't want 600,000 Chinese spies in. As I pointed out in the first hour, us accepting 600,000 students from China is part of the trade truce we are currently in with China. It was part of the deal Trump and Xi Jinping cut. Trump knows that. He knows you don't want 600,000 Chinese students in. So this isn't a trial balloon. This is Trump trying to sell it.
You don't want to cut half of the people, half of the students from all over the world that are coming into our country, destroy our entire university and college system. I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't lose any.
And don't forget, MAGA was my idea. MAGA was nobody else's idea. I know what MAGA wants better than anybody else. And MAGA wants to see our country thrive.
He's selling it. Remember the Jeffrey Epstein stuff that so many people are still angry about? It was almost out of the blue. It was just something he decided on. Almost out of the blue, he started yelling about anyone talking about it. Why are we still talking about it? Shut up. This isn't important. Are we still talking about that? He just looked at all of us and he
shut up.
What? He was selling it. Wanted everyone to move on. Let's move on. Now, sometimes they're trial balloons. Sometimes he's selling something. And sometimes, remember, he's a deal maker. That's what he does. Sometimes it's an idle threat. You know what an idle threat is? A threat that you're not actually serious about, a threat you don't really have any intention of following through on. Donald Trump did not want the government shut down. He's president. He wants to do things. He is hamstrung if the government is shut down. So he didn't want it shut down. And he understands that Democrats, really the power of Democrats in this country, is the fact that they've filled up government at every single level with Democrats. They have filled up the government with committed communists who will carry out their will no matter what and who will kneecap Republicans no matter what. Democrats understand that's a hugely powerful thing they have in their back pocket. Donald Trump wanted the shutdown to stop. Donald Trump used that threat to try to get them to stop. Now, that wasn't effective. He never followed through on it. the shutdown would have ended a long time ago if we were actually watching federal employees be fired by the thousand. If Democrats were watching communists getting marched out of the federal government, they would have freaked out earlier, but it didn't happen. What did we get? 4,000? I think 4,000 got laid off, I believe was the number. What happened to it? It didn't happen. But remember this. Remember, you can have your frustration with the Trump administration, with the White House, and then it's totally fine. Again, you're not a servant. You're not a subject. You can criticize anybody you want in politics. Anybody. You're a free American citizen. That's fine. I just want to remind you again, if I'm going to try to make you feel better, that Trump is the beginning, not the end. He is never, it's not even realistic to ask that of him to solve all these problems that are decades in the making. What do we want from him? Really, what he's done. We want him to get the ball rolling. Get the ball rolling. And contrary to what he tells Laura Ingraham here, I'll play it for you again. At the end, what he says.
You don't want to cut half of the people, half of the students from all over the world that are coming into our country, destroy our entire university and college system. I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't lose any.
And don't forget, MAGA was my idea. MAGA was nobody else's idea. I know what MAGA wants better than anybody else. And MAGA wants to see our country thrive.
He may be right about it being his idea, and he certainly is the leader of the Republican Party. He's the leader of the right and has been so for years. He's the largest, most influential, most powerful voice on the right. But America First, that movement, it will go on for a very long time after Donald Trump is gone. A very long time. He is not the movement. He is the leader of the movement, no question. He is not the movement. So there are things that you're not going to get and I'm not going to get during this four-year span. And we could, oh, look, all we could do is hope and pray that we get another guy in for 4 years or 8 years. That's all we can hope. But let's just focus on this 4 years. There are going to be a lot of things you don't get. You will get some things. You will not get some things. Some things you really, really want. That's how it always goes, though. That's how it always goes. It's always been this way, no matter what promises they make or no matter. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes they were flat out lying. It's a hard, complicated thing to walk into Washington, D.C. and actually reform the place because it is designed so it can't be reformed. Evil, selfish, horrible people have spent decades and decades and decades in Washington, D.C., trying to ensure that you, the voter, are not allowed to change things there. They've worked very, very hard at that, to separate you from their power. They don't want you to have any say-so. They don't want you to be able to actually cut things out of the federal budget. They don't want you to be able to deport people, to denaturalize some of these dirty foreigners who hate our country and openly talk about how much they hate the frigging place. There's no reason we shouldn't be denaturalizing and deporting those people. They don't want you to have that power. They don't want you to have the power, or anyone to have the power, of firing federal employees because they understand having a massive federal government full of communists is wonderful for them. They don't want you to be able to have a say. Because if you, the patriotic citizen, actually have a say, then things would change. That doesn't mean we can't make changes. It doesn't mean we can't improve things. We can. It means it's going to happen a lot slower than you or I would ever want it to happen. It is. It's just, that's the way Washington, D.C. works. Remember that we're 250 years, well, 249, we're 250 years into America. That's a really nice lifespan for a country. I'm not saying we're done or anything like that, but after 250 years, inevitably, there is going to be a degree of rot inside the government. Whatever kind of government system there is, there's going to be a certain amount of rot there because of the evil, sinful nature of man. Men are going to get into power. They're going to abuse that power, find a way to insulate their power from the will of the voters, And this didn't happen last night, and it's not going to be solved overnight. Anyway, back to Trump. Sometimes it's a trial balloon. Sometimes he's selling something. And sometimes it's an idle threat that he didn't mean. He didn't mean firing all these federal employees. He was just trying to threaten Democrats and get them to not shut the government down. He never meant it. We didn't get it. That sucks. I wanted it, but that's the way it goes. Let's do some emails, shall we? Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Before I get to these emails, I just want to say this. I hope Ob doesn't ever leave me for the mailman or something. That would be less than ideal. But if she does, I know exactly what I'm looking for. Headline. 21-year-old Florida woman has been arrested after authorities say she was caught driving at 107 miles per hour. When questioned, she told officers she was trying to get to Little Caesars before it closes. That's the kind of dedication to delicious pizza. What, Chris? What are you dog? You like Little Caesars. You, everyone knows it's delicious. People think it's low class. I don't have any problem with being low class. I admit I'm low class. Little Caesars is delicious. Hey, crayons. That's not nice. Congress can't even vote on a full CR, which is ridiculous gridlock. Why not scrap the idea of a CR and start making our own full budget? I just want to make sure I emphasize this again and again and again. They don't want a budget. Democrats don't want a budget, and Republicans don't want a budget. The reason they don't want to budget is that would involve actually opening up the books and showing the American people what you want to fund and what you want to defund. They don't want to risk that. The easiest thing for these people on both sides is to just keep voting for a CR, a continuing resolution, which is horrible. I hate that this is just accepted now. There should not be a CR. That there is ever a CR is a scandal. I want to keep stressing this. It is a scandal to have a CR. A CR is meant for dire emergencies only. We're in the middle of a hot war. We don't have time. That is what it's made for. Instead, we've just chosen to continue this because they're all a bunch of gutless loser cowards who don't want to cut anything, they don't want to budget anything, they don't want to show the American people what they like or what they dislike, so they all just say, CR, CR, CR. I am not convinced this will ever end until we get the coming debt collapse that we all know is coming. I think it will take something that severe, maybe a Great Depression type thing. I think it will take something that severe to get these parties, but either of them, to stop doing this. It drives me insane. Oh, by the way, did you hear this? Speaking of the debt collapse, you hear this? This is from Ray Dalio.
And those are the characteristics that produce a deterioration in the monetary order. And that's, you know, that's why what you're seeing. You're seeing a dynamic of why countries, for example, are letting their reserves or their assets in bonds and so on go down, and they're acquiring and have been acquiring gold, for example. So gold is a currency. You know, we think of currencies as.
What have I been telling you? By the way, have you called Gold Co. yet? Should I play it for you again? You know what? Let me play it for you again. What are countries doing right now? Because they see the debt out there. They see the interest rates. They see this global economy. What are nations doing right now?
And those are the characteristics that produce a deterioration in the monetary order. And that's, you know, that's why what you're seeing. You're seeing a dynamic of why countries, for example, are letting their reserves or their assets in bonds and so on go down. And they're acquiring and have been acquiring gold, for example.
855-817-GOLD. Get it in your retirement. Now, if you can, get some physical gold or silver, I don't care what color it is, in your possession. Now, you might right now qualify for thousands of dollars in bonus silver. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. Jesse, I was watching a video clip of you berating Chris for not watching the movie Heat. You two went back and forth, but we could only hear your side of the combo. Then it dawned on me that Chris has no mic to interact with you in the audience, unlike some other talk shows. Is this a bug or feature of your show? Why not give Chris a mic? Well, for one, and it says his name is John, Chris does have a mic. I can hear from Chris. I have made the executive decision. I don't want you to have to suffer and hear his voice. It's very nasally and really high-pitched and whiny. It kind of sounds like, like Lindsey Graham. It's got a real Lindsey. What, Chris? I'm just trying to be honest with the audience. It's got a real Lindsey Graham, lispy kind of thing, too high and nasally, feminine, lispy. Everything bad you could put in a voice, that's Chris's voice. And so I'm actually doing you a favor by silencing him. It's better. Look, let's accept I'm jumping on a grenade every day for you. I have to listen to him. You don't have to suffer like this. It shouldn't fall on you, El Sombrero. Why do we always hear about Japanese samurai warriors and ninjas? Did the other Asia Oriental cultures have similar, or did the Japanese just have better PR? No, the Japanese were awesome. Are awesome. But it's not that they had better PR. It was a more... Look, there are some cultures, as you're aware, that are simply military cultures. They are. In America, for instance, our Indians, our different Indian tribes. We had some Indian tribes, like the Lakota, the Sioux, like the Comanche, that they were warlike peoples, and that's what they believed in, and that's what they wanted to do. And so they were going to go out, and they were going to conquer other Indian tribes and take their land and all that other stuff, all that gobbledygook they taught you in school. But they never owned the land. It's just a bunch of the biggest bunch of idiocy in the world. They were always fighting over land. They were always fighting over that stuff. But then there were tribes like the Pueblo, for instance. That's a southwestern tribe. They were farmers, really. That's what they wanted to do. It's not that they didn't have any warriors. You had to have some to protect yourself. Now, if you are a tribe and military is what you do, you're going to be better at it. What are you good at? Things you do. Things you practice for a long time. Anyway, Carol Roth, speaking of all this economy stuff, housing market stuff, Carol Roth is going to join us in a moment. Talk to us about that. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, you better make sure there aren't any potty words in that. We have kids listening. Anyway, joining me now, my friend, two times New York Times bestseller, former recovering investment banker, Carol Roth. You know her already. You're well acquainted with her on this show. First, Carol, have you ever wanted to be part of a secret club of any kind? Because I'm going to start one.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually don't want to be part of your club. I don't want to be part of any club. I wouldn't be part of any club that would have me. I don't like people. I like to be by myself. So the idea that I would have to go socialize, you learn a secret handshake and all that, totally unappealing to me.
Well, that's fine, Carol, because we're not allowing in any women anyway,
yeah,
so you're not even invited.
Yeah, I figured, yeah.
All right, now let's move on to the task at hand. People can't afford to live right now. In the last 5 years, with the money printing and spending, inflation has priced middle-class people down into poverty, poverty people into nothing. It's a problem. Can it be fixed in 4 years?
So what you are describing is the lower part of what I call the K-shaped economy. So if you think about the letter K, you have some people who are experiencing an economy as asset holders where they have seen, at least on a nominal, meaning non-inflation adjusted basis, they've seen their 401ks go up, they've seen their houses go up, they feel okay. Then you have the rest of the middle and working class, as you mentioned, who are on the lower slope of that trajectory and the increased cost of living across the board, whether it is their rent or mortgage, whether it's property taxes, health care costs. Anything that you can think of, insurance is just gone through the roof, and they're really struggling to stay afloat. And this has been a huge issue. It's what put President Trump in the White House, the frustration with the economy and the lack of affordability that spiraled out of control during Biden's term. And I do think that it played a role in the elections that were just had across the country with, you know, mayors and governors, because it hasn't been fixed. And to your question, can it be addressed in 4 years? Certainly, I don't think that it can be entirely fixed. But looking at different things that could be undertaken, whether it is fixing the student loan problem that's transferring wealth from younger people to college administrators, fixing the housing situation. I do think there are things that we could be doing, certainly fixing healthcare. We've been waiting for some folks to get on that forever. I do think there are things that can be put on the right trajectory where people feel some relief and feel like at least they're being thought about and cared for and moved in the right direction.
Let's focus on the healthcare portion of this, because I've been hot on this for a while. I've been talking about it tonight. Obamacare was, of course, designed to end up as government-run healthcare. Everyone knows it. Some people were honest about it at the time. And now health insurance is just shockingly expensive. It's amazing. Normal people cannot afford it. What can we do to help people afford healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, I know that this is a huge surprise to everyone, but I think we just figured out that the Affordable Care Act is not, in fact, affordable. Big shocker there. I think this is probably the hardest problem we face, because the entire system needs to be redesigned. And part of the issue is that we have all of these entities that are in different areas, right? You've got the people who work for big corporations who have a certain special access to health care. You have, a group of people who are now on these exchanges. You have the government workers who are in their own health plan. And in order for the health care, insurance industry to work and to get that pool sorted out in the right way, everybody really needs to be moving into one market-based system. I'm certainly not advocating for a government-run one-based system, but in a market-based system where we remove barriers, we remove the state barriers, we remove all the things that are creating the extra cost within the system and allow for real competition. Because just like everything else, the administrators and the middlemen are the ones who are getting wealthy at everyone's expense, quite literally. And the only thing that solves that is if we can bring it back to an area where we have that full competition. And that is a major, major endeavor, which is why I think the Republicans have been too scared to try to touch that.
Can they touch that in a way that doesn't look like they're ripping something away from someone? Because we both know the low T GOP doesn't have the guts to ever cut anything off.
Yeah, of course they can. But do they have the political will to do so, or do they even have the smarts to do so? That's a separate question. And so none of this is impossible in kind of a vacuum. But when you bring politics into the question and you talk about political will, do they have the will to dig deep? Because the reality is that it would benefit pretty much all of the people, except for maybe the people in Congress who are getting some sort of a sweetheart deal themselves. But you do have people who are working on messaging, just like they tried to tell us that the Affordable Care Act was affordable. They're going to do the opposite thing because they are trying to get government-run health care and moving at the extreme opposite end of that to something that is free market oriented, of course, is going to have a lot of propaganda around it. So they need to have the strength to be willing to do the right thing, despite what anybody might say. And so far, very few people in Congress have proven that they have that will.
Carol, the average age, I saw this morning, of a home buyer is now 61 years old. That is amazing. I think I'm the last person in America paying under 3% for my mortgage. People can't afford homes right now. Is that something the administration can address beyond just deporting 50 million people, which I scream about all the time?
You stole my first talking point, Jesse. Uh-huh. So yes, we agree getting the illegals out of the country is going to free up certain housing. And I think that that makes a lot of sense. We are underbuilt right now by several million units. There's arguments on whether that's 2 million or 4 million or whatever it is. But we know that there isn't enough housing. And one of the issues is that there isn't enough right-sized housing. If we go back to the 1950s, the median house was about 1,000 square feet, maybe a little bit under, and now it's about 2,200 to 2,400 square feet. So the idea to get people into more affordable housing would be to incentivize builders to build, smaller footprint housing that's still reasonable. We're not talking about a tiny house from Amazon, but just, reasonable size house, especially since families on average are smaller today than they were back in the 1950s. No surprise there. The challenge for a builder today is that everything's more expensive. You've got lots of regulations, you've got lots of zoning laws, and there aren't really the incentives if you've got a piece of land to build a couple of smaller houses instead of one big McMansion. And so if there were appropriate incentives for them to do that, that's something else that could help. I do think that having the government think about increasing the assumability of mortgages could also help free up some of the stock that has been locked in place, because there are people who got these mortgages that are 3% and 4%, and they can't sell their house because they don't want to pay 6% or 7% for a new house that has also increased highly in value, in terms of both the price as well as the financing. So right now, less than a quarter of mortgages are assumable. If they went to the banks, who we have bailed out many, many times, and said, you're going to do this, you're going to allow for assumability. And by the way, you do get a benefit out of this too, because if nobody is moving in terms of houses, you're getting no origination fees. So we'll give you a right of first refusal for that particular buyer so that you can finance the rest of their mortgage. And then there's a blended rate that's certainly better than the 6% or 7% today. That's something that could free up some housing as well as addressing some of these student debt issues. Because if you are somebody who is young and you're saddled with tens of thousands or maybe even six figures of student debt, no matter what the house costs, you don't have the balance sheet to be able to buy it. So I think there are many things the administration can do. Obviously, they cannot fix the local zoning ordinances, but President Trump has a big platform. He could certainly shine a light on it, and he could certainly motivate people to make noise to try to move those ordinances, those rules, those regulations, and all the things that are tying up the lack of availability of new homes. So I do think this is solvable. We just need to get the right answers. And I can tell you what, the right answer is not a 50-year mortgage.
No, it is certainly not. Carol, you are welcome on the radio show. You're just not welcome in my secret club. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Chris, we can't have women in the club. Well, I mean, you're not allowed to join either. So to be fair, you're not allowed. Why? Well, I'm the founder. I just get to make these decisions like a dictator, really. Look, I'll get you a bubble cuddle blanket from Cozy Earth. Well, that is, does that get you in the club? No. It just makes it easier. I probably line up some everywhere pants for you. Those stretchy pants that you can wear. Look, I wear my everywhere pants to church, and then I lounge around in them all day. This is how comfortable these things are. Anyway, you know about Cozy Earth stuff. Their sheets are glorious. Huge sale right now. Black Friday has begun at Cozy Earth. Maybe you've already been to CozyEarth.com. Maybe you've browsed around at everything from robes to face creams. And maybe you've thought to yourself, I'll wait for a good sale. The good sale is right now. Black Friday, up to 40% off site-wide. You have to go to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code Jesse. You want to live in complete comfort? That's what Cozy Earth will do for your home. CozyEarth.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday, a Veterans Day. Again, happy Veterans Day to all who served out there. I wanted to remind you, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, whatever you would like to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Since Jewish producer Chris was asking me, I figured I might as well tell you, what did I do for the Marine Corps birthday? Remember, today is Veterans Day. Yesterday was the VIP event, if you will. What, Chris? Anyway, what did I do? Got home. Took my mother left today, so and I, we took her out to dinner. Got back. Was tired. She decides to go to bed. And now everybody knows what I did. Everybody probably already knows. What do you think I did? I sat up and I watched documentaries about the Marine Corps and various fights the Marine Corps has been in. I sat up and watched it until I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore, and then I went to sleep. Why do you rub your head, Chris? What? I'm not an old man. Documentaries are amazing, and it was just wonderful. I watched one on Peleliu. You would be very proud of me, Chris. The one I found on Peleliu, I had to get a subscription for it, for the channel, but it was one of those free trial for 7 day subscriptions. Got the subscription, watched it before I fired anything else up, canceled my subscription already, watched it for free, didn't pay a dime. I knew it would make you so incredibly proud. After that, I spent my time on YouTube looking for various Marine Corps things. What, Chris? All that stuff is free, except everything is advertiser supported now, which is obviously annoying, and you know, I need some relief from that, like Relief Factor. Are you in pain? Do you have pain in your life that affects your life? Does your back hurt all the time? Your neck, your knee, your foot, your hand? You know, we ignore it or we take things to mask it. And both of those things are terrible solutions. What if you could get rid of it? Remember back when it didn't hurt? What if you could rewind back to those days? That's what Relief Factor will do for you. It is a supplement, 100% drug-free supplement. Your body's trying to fight that inflammation. Relief Factor is the help. Go to relieffactor.com and try it. 3 weeks of it's $19.95. Just try it. Doesn't work after 3 weeks? You don't feel any better? Don't call them back. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. Jesse, what do you think about the possibility of the U.S. intervening in Nigeria to stop the Christian manslaughter? Well, one, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the Trump, well, for probably a variety of reasons. Trump is fairly non-interventionist when it comes to foreign policy. He's not an isolationist, but he also doesn't believe in going everywhere. That's one. Two, the administration is starting to feel some heat from the people. They're starting to feel heat on the economy, on the affordability of things. So if there was a small chance we would go into Nigeria before, those chances probably dropped to zero after we lost a bunch of elections on Tuesday night and after all the polls show people were unhappy with the economy. It's not to say I don't have a heart for our Christian brothers and sisters who are being slaughtered in Nigeria. I very much do. If I had my way, I would find a large mercenary group that would, with the backing of the United States of America, go over there and simply provide security to protect those people. That's what I would want. But right now, the American people don't have any time whatsoever for foreign adventuring. Even if it's something that's near to your heart or near to my heart. I mean, I can't watch these videos anymore of Christians getting slaughtered over there, and it's just friggin' terrible. They don't want to hear about it. The American people, when they can't afford things, do not want to hear about Ukraine and why it's important. They don't want to hear about Israel and why it's important. They don't want to hear about Nigerian Christians and why it's important. They don't want to hear about Venezuela. They don't even really want to hear about Mexico. They don't want to hear about it. What they care about now, and look, this is not me saying it. Every single opinion poll, public opinion poll, shows this. The American people are worried about the economy. The American people do not feel the jobs market is good. They don't feel prices are good. And when that is the case, you don't care about other places. You can get away with things as a politician on foreign soil when times are good back home, and you can't get away with those things when times get tough back home. It just doesn't work that way.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
BBC top executives quit in disgrace over fake Trump video scandal. It's hilarious to me. One of the oldest news organizations on the planet just lied. Like they always, they just lied. Completely edited a video to make Donald Trump look like he said something he didn't say. And these people don't think anything of it. Communists lie about everything all the time. And they keep getting sued and they keep getting burned and they keep lying. Hong Kong Bridge partially collapses in southwest China months after opening. Retro. Iguanas falling from trees. It's a Florida. Do we have to do this thing every year, Florida, where it freezes and everyone talks about the iguanas falling from trees? We got it at this point in time. Everyone understands it. A Utah judge on Monday rejected a Republican-approved congressional map in favor of an alternative that will create a Democrat-leaning district. Red states are a disaster internally. A disaster. There has to be a renewed effort by all of us, including my state, by the way, Texas, a renewed effort to make red states redder. Red states are not red enough because we are lazy and complacent. We don't get involved in local politics or state politics. And Utah is a disgrace for this. Pitiful. In what is one of our great states and could be one of our reddest states. Pitiful. The GOP in that state. And I know because I've got a pitiful one in mind. We will do this again tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.